Welcome to the Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk, a show committed to educating, empowering, and entertaining you while saving you thousands. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Formal education will make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune. It's time to gain knowledge and become the guardian of your financial future. I want to thank our sponsor, Cornerstone Mortgage, known for having the lowest rates and the smoothest closings.
If you have a question you would like addressed on the air, you can call or text the show at 314-472-DOUG. That's 472-DOUG, which is 3684. All the information from our show is on our website at smartwithyourmoney.com.
Smartwithyourmoney.com. Be sure and go on there and become a registered listener. And then also be sure and check out our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Hit that like button, search Doug Haldeman Show on Facebook, and be like over 2,800 other St. Louisans and hit the like button.
So Cornerstone got an award.
Yeah, it was actually interesting. Cornerstone Mortgage this week, they came out. There's a national publication, Mortgage Executive Magazine, presented us with an award. They awarded the top 50 of best mortgage companies to work for. And Cornerstone Mortgage was number 11 in the country.
That's good.
On best mortgage companies to work for, which is awesome.
World.
I mean, we're, you know, as far as, I mean, I would consider us a mid-sized mortgage company nationally. I mean, we did $1.25 billion last year. It puts us second largest in Missouri.
Right.
But, you know, nationally, compared to some of these other players, we're much, much smaller. So to be, to receive that award as one of the best places to work was definitely.
It says something.
It definitely says something.
That's right.
Very honored.
So on the Fed news, what's up? I heard some things coming up the pipeline. About
a lot of economic news coming out this week. I mean, there was initial jobless claims and then the Fed Open Market Committee meeting. You hear about the FOMC meeting. So basically when the Fed meets about every 6 weeks and they make the decision after looking at all the economic data, are they going to raise interest rates or not?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they did, which was expected.
Right.
It was no big surprise, 80% chance that they were going to raise rates. And, you know, it should have been even higher than that. But, of course, they did raise rates. And watch the market reaction was interesting. So when they raised rates, they raised the federal funds target rate to 0.75% to 1%. So it's a target range where they want to have the federal funds rate. So raise that rate, and then you start to see the ripple reaction of how do the markets react to this.
And when you say markets, you're talking about the financial markets, the things that affect consumer.
Not the grocery store.
Not the grocery store.
Not that market. But stock market, bond market,
right.
You know, all of the different equity markets out there, how do they react to it? How do, you know, with the bond market, we're looking, because that's where interest rates are determined. And this is where people really have to understand the relationship between what does the Fed control and what does the Fed not control.
Mm-hmm.
So as an example.
And how it affects them.
Yes, because one of the first things is it was interesting because when they raised rates on Wednesday, what happened to mortgage rates? Well, mortgage rates went way down whenever they raised rates.
Mm-hmm.
Inverse relationship, and it's not always an inverse relationship, but in this case, it was an inverse relationship because the markets already knew this was going to happen. Okay, we knew they were going to raise rates, so it was already baked in. But some of the language that they used was what they call dovish, meaning it's not as anti-inflationary as what some of the markets expected. So you not only saw the bond market get better, which you helped interest rates, but you also saw the stock market get better that day too,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't happen very often. Usually stocks and bonds will move in the opposite direction.
Normally.
Right, because money moves from one to the other.
Right.
So where does money come from if you're seeing stock market and bond market increase? You basically taking money out of cash in most cases or out of real estate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to guess it actually was coming more out of cash than anything else. Let's talk real quick about that relationship and what the Fed raises. Because, Tammy, do you think that most people are very clear on how that affects them?
I don't want to insult any intelligence at all. I think it's not in most of our minds about how things affect us and why. So and to answer your question, I don't think everybody knows, no.
Okay. All right. So let's cover a little economics 101. When the Fed raises their target rate, okay, so when they raise the target rate from 0.75% to 1%, they want to be in that range. So they raise it 0.25%. What does that do? So that's the overnight lending rate for banks. So it's the rates that when banks lend money to each other,
correct,
which they have to do to shore up their capital reserve requirements. So when the banks do that, prime rate is going to be attached to that. So the top end of that range is 1%. Prime rate will always be 3% above that. So now prime just went from 3.75 up to 4%. Mm-hmm. That's what affects you as a consumer.
Right.
Okay, so the banks are borrowing money at a lower rate, the federal funds rate, and they're investing it, you know, basically by loaning money out to you as a consumer based on the prime rate. Now, if you have a home equity loan, home equity loans are going to be an average of prime plus one. So they'd be an average of around 5% now. So those did get affected immediately by this. Long-term rates aren't determined by that. Long-term mortgage rates are determined by the Fannie Mae mortgage-backed securities, the Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed securities. It's not the same, you know, it's a different market. Now, when you look, what else does prime affect? Credit cards.
The credit card thing, I think, needs to be explained just a little bit more. Because you get, if you notice in the fine print, it says prime plus 18.75%. So whatever prime is, you got to add that to that interest rate. So you could be upwards to 22% just on whatever your balances are.
There is a big range in credit card rates depending on what your credit ratings are. And they'll give you the 0% interest on a balance transfer, but they don't do that because they want to loan you money at 0%. No. They do that because they know that at the end of that 0% time period, you are probably going to have to keep your money there. And,
correct.
And most of the time it doesn't get paid off. And then your interest rate goes up and you need to watch what those rates are. Mm-hmm. You're right, Jamie. It is pretty common to see, you know, prime plus 20, prime plus 18. Mm-hmm. And you'll see some as low as prime plus 10 for somebody with extraordinary credit.
Right.
But that's an unsecured loan. There's no collateral for those loans except for your credit rating. So credit rating is going to be really important to know.
It's still better to do a home equity loan, prime plus one.
Absolutely. Much better to have a home equity loan for some of those smaller things than you would to have a bunch of credit card debt. Much better interest rate. And that's where having a proper debt strategy is very, very important.
Which that brings us to kind of to you and what you do with people. And you go over all of this stuff pretty much in detail with people to help them develop that strategy, which I can't help but toot your horn for you. Because I really think that's important for you to know all this stuff and be able to relate it back to the consumer and how it affects them in their daily strategy. So how would someone get in contact with you to set that up?
So if you want to get in touch with me to form a debt strategy around your particular scenario, and the mortgage may be part of that, it might not, we'll determine that once we take a look at it. Best thing, you can text or call me at 314-472-DOUG. That's 472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684 are the numbers for it. So, Timmy, there was another change. And in case you just joined us, you'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. And another change that happened this week is the credit bureaus actually announced major change at how they're going to deal with public records. Okay, so let's explain this change. So the Consumer Data Industry Association, which is a trade group that represents the three major credit companies out there, so Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. Okay, they're soon going to remove tax liens and civil judgment data from consumer credit reports.
Right.
Okay, this is huge. So
July 1st is what they're saying.
July 1st is when it's going to happen. So here's what's going to happen. Public record data must include three of four data points, which includes the consumer's name, address, and either a social security number or a date of birth before it can hit their credit report.
Right. So how does this affect someone? So when they're coming to you for a loan, they find a house, they come to you for a loan.
Okay, so we run a credit report, and I'm going to say pre-July 1st. So in the present day, here's what this looks like. We run a credit report, and there's a public records section. And the public records is going out and searching every public record out there at the recorder of deeds offices at counties all over the country. There's an automated system for it, and it's looking for tax liens.
Right.
It could be federal tax liens, could be state tax liens. It could be IRS liens for not paying payroll tax if you're an employer. It could be any type of judgment that's against you. If your neighbor sues you for even $1,000, for $1,000, and now they win, and that shows up as a judgment out there. Well, now it follows you on your credit report, and public records can stay there for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Now, after 7, you can request for them to be removed. But this is a big deal, and here's the risk in it. The risk for lenders is people with public records like that are twice as likely to default on a loan.
They have a large number.
Right. So that's a pretty high amount right. that they're more likely to default on a loan. So if lenders can't see that information, then their scores may right. be artificially high.
Right.
Here's where I think this is a major win for consumers, though, is the amount of mistakes with public records is huge. Mm-hmm. There is no checks and balances. If you have a credit card that reports something incorrectly, will you dispute it with the bureau? The bureau goes back to that credit card and mm-hmm. gives them 30 days to respond, or they have to remove it. With public records, there's not much of a process to ever remove those because.
Right.
Let's say it's a tax lien, for instance. And okay, I'm going to give you a personal example here. When I owned a company many years ago, and after when I wanted to close the company down, my former partner, but it was partner at the time, he wanted to keep it open, put it all in his name, but he never changed the name with the IRS for who the tax matter partner was. Well, he didn't pay the payroll taxes in the last quarter of
it. That's nice.
So they came up. The IRS starts chasing after the company. And
sure.
as I went back to try to clean up the mess, I'm the tax matter partner on it. So they come after me. I worked it out with the IRS agent where they put it as a lien against the company, but not me personally. Well, here's what happens. There's a lien letter that gets recorded. And on the letter, they actually recorded the recorder of deeds office, the same letter they send out to the taxpayer. And it just showed attention, Haldeman Douglas is what it said on it. Only had my name on it for the attention, okay, but it was not a lien against me, but the credit bureaus search public records and they see my name and an address, no date of birth, no social security number, and that hits my credit report. So it took a lot of work to get that off, and in many cases, there is not a darn thing somebody can do
I'm
when there's a mistake
tired.
Like that. Oh, yeah.
I mean, hearing everything.
It took me well over a year mm-hmm. to get that off, and if somebody's trying to get a loan during that time period, it's probably not going to happen.
Right.
So,
and this happens quite a bit. We just had some friends we counseled for credit stuff also, and they had some things that were just not accurate. And I think that's what holds people up for getting a loan. But here's the downside. When it comes time to close on the property that they've bought, the title company now says, uh-oh, you have some liens.
Yeah, so we may not see it on the credit report,
right.
which gets you a better interest rate.
Correct.
But the title company may still pick it up because they're not pulling a credit bureau. They're actually checking the public records.
Right. So your real estate agent, your lender, they're not going to know anything until closing.
Yeah, so you still have some risk there as a consumer, mm-hmm. but the fact that it's not on your credit report is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, so there's an upshot, but then there's also if you know that it's out there.
All right, so we've written a bunch of this stuff up for our mm-hmm. website. If you visit smartwithyourmoney.com, and look for our segment on this where we talk about the Fed interest rate hike and this credit reporting change. Read this. You can re-listen to this segment, too, on our podcast. Search, if you search Google Play or iTunes for our podcast, look for Doug Haldeman Show. Actually, on that, search for Smart With Your Money with Doug Haldeman, and you'll be able to see our podcast.
Yep, Smart With Your Money.
All right, so coming up, we are going to be talking about real estate investing in a way that hardly anybody has really heard about it, and it's going to be self-directed IRAs when we return. You're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Forensic analyst searched for the clue that would lead her to the arsonist. Traces of starch all around the wreckage of the house. Suddenly, all the pieces came together. The fire was started by
an over-microwaved potato?
But the scorched house was covered, thanks to Farmers Insurance. Hot potato, July 25th, 2015. Talk to a farmer's agent. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Call your local farmer's agent, Elaine Marr, at 314-238-0055.